The reality for many of you is that investment properties where you live have become absolutely unaffordable. The good news is that there are many cities with affordable properties and many of those under 100K. If you're someone who's ready to buy your first out-of-state property in the next 4 months, then I encourage you to check out my free training that'll break down the process and show you exactly what it takes to invest out of state. I purchased properties out of state and it's changed my life. The same is possible for you. You simply need the right information. My free training will help you take that next step towards buying your first out-of-state property. You can watch the training right now at outofstatemoney.com, or you can click the link in the description of this episode. Again, you can find it at outofstatemoney.com, or you can click the link in the description of this episode.
Excuse me, may I talk to you for a second?
Yes. This is the Black Real Estate Dialogue, and the purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors.
If you're someone who lives in an area where it's so expensive to buy real estate and you feel like it's impossible, then I have something for you. I just released a free guide that's going to give you the 8 steps you need to take to buy your first out-of-state property. I've bought several properties out of state, living in California, investing in Ohio, and you can do the same. It's just a matter of having the right information. So click the link in the description of this episode to get your free guide today.
Welcome back to the Black Real Estate Dialogue Closing Day featuring Justin Green, CEO of Green Investment Group from episode 157. And in this episode, Justin's going to talk about how to find a good deal and then how to maximize your profits. And so really, really good gems. Check it out. Episode 157, the Black Real Estate Dialogue Closing Day feature, Justin Green. Let's go.
There's this debate. We see it every day. Some people, you know, yeah, I'm buying on the MLS at retail. You know, that's it. That's what I want to do. Whereas other people are like, well, you should be looking for discounted properties, properties in distress. Can you talk about your thoughts on that further and just the advantages of buying distressed properties or properties at a discount?
Right. So I think that whether you're buying a property on an MLS, retail, or off market, I think the number one thing is the numbers have to make sense for you. It has to make sense, right? Because listen, people are still buying deals on an MLS, right? I know developers that are building new construction and buying deals on the MLS for sure. And they're making money. But I think that the numbers have to make sense for you. So for example, for me, I'm a developer, but I don't have my own in-house crew. So a developer that is building new construction can have his crew in-house and the project budget would come under my budget because I'm using a general contractor. So for him, he may be able to offer 10 grand more on a property where I can't do that because I know I have to use a general contractor and pay that contractor. So the numbers have to make sense. I think the advantage of buying a property off market is that you typically are buying a property at a discounted price, right? And when you're buying it off market, let me say this. If you're buying it off market and you're handling the deal, then you have more options. But sometimes you can buy from a wholesaler, which is totally fine as well, too. It's just that the wholesaler in that case is managing the entire deal, right? So I think the advantage of buying it off market is that you should get it at a discounted price. And doing it that way, you begin to build, you know, rapport and relationships with other people. So that way you can say, hey, you got any more off-market deals? Let me know. Send them my way. So I think, you know, the advantage of buying off-market is finding it at a discounted price and then having more options with it being off-market.
Love it. Love it. And there are so many resources out there, so many softwares and things of that nature. What are your top ways that, let's say, the last year, especially with everything that's been changing in the real estate world, what are some ways you've been able to still source some of those off-market deals lately?
Yeah, so I'm really big on using data, right? So data is a great way to find deals, meaning like you're looking at properties that could be tax delinquent. You're looking at properties that may have a lien on them, right? So I use PropStream. So you can use PropStream. I do have like a 7-day free trial. You can go to datafromjustin.com and get a 7-day free trial of PropStream. So PropStream is a source, is a data source where it filters, like, you know, tax delinquent in a certain zip code. It can look at senior owners, foreclosures, things of that nature. So PropStream is a good data point. I think the other piece is driving for dollars. So driving for dollars is when you're driving around or could be walking around and you're looking for properties that look distressed or vacant lots, right? And then from there, you're doing some research and you're contacting a property owner and seeing if they want to sell. Now, this is definitely hard work. So it's not like you're going to get a deal right away. It takes consistency, hard work, knowing how to talk to the owner, you know, knowing how to find the owner. So those are all things you have to really figure out. But those are the strategies that I'm using to find off-market deals. Now, once you start building your business, you can then hire staff to say, hey, I used to do this. I'm going to train you on how to drive for dollars. Now I'm going to outsource it. I'm going to give it to you. And now they're doing it for you.
Love it. Love it. One of the things you mentioned was tax delinquent properties. So in that situation, if you know, you're on PropStream, for instance, and it's showing X house has, I don't know, $20,000 in back taxes. If you get in touch with that owner, are you like, how do you settle that $20,000 and then take over the property? Like how would you approach that?
So I typically will tell the owner that my offer includes any debt on the property, right? So the owner is going to pay the debt off at closing, not out of their own pocket, but out of the proceeds of the sale. So for example, in that scenario where you say the property owner or the property is tax delinquent by 20 grand, if I offer you 40 grand, right? At closing, you're getting $20,000 because the 20 for the tax delinquent is coming out of the sales price. So that's how I structured it that way. Now there's some cases where if you wanted to be creative with it, let's say, for example, the owner did not want any money back at the table, right? They just wanted to get rid of it, right? Let's say the owner only wanted that 20K, right, at closing, right? They didn't really care about the tax delinquent debt. They just want 20K at closing. But obviously you care about it. What you could do is you still offer 40, right? And what you do is you bring the 20 to the table, but then you work out a payment plan with the city and pay the taxes off, you know, monthly. So that way you don't have to bring the extra 20 to the table, right? So you're buying a property subject to any liens on the property. So that's like kind of like creative financing in a sense.
Gotcha. I haven't heard that one before with the making the tax payments. Typically, I've heard people mention the first scenario, but I think that's, wow, that's pretty mind blowing, man. So when a property is in tax trouble, do you find that an owner is more willing to sell it at a better price to you? Because, you know, perhaps they can't afford this to settle it. Like, do you find that they can be more flexible in terms of the price? In that scenario?
I think they are, yes. But I do mm-hmm. think there's also about, you know, peeling back the layers of pain, right? Well, how much pain do they have? Like really trying to figure out not only, you know, their pain, but how can I serve them? How can I heal their pain, right? I think that's important to build rapport and not just do it for yourself, right? But you're actually doing it to help them overcome some obstacle, right? So if somebody has a vacant property, and it's tax delinquent and it's like, I don't know what to do with it, but I don't want to lose it. You know, you're coming in as their savior in a sense of you're buying a property and they get a profit at the end. It may not be what they wanted, but obviously it's better to sell the property or to buy the property and they sell it to you and get a profit versus like you losing it to the city. Right. Now I will be clear that an example of the tax delinquent that you making monthly payments that only works if the property is not already up for sheriff sale, right? So if the property is up for sheriff sale already, and it's like there's a sheriff sale due date, typically the sheriff's office wants their payment like right away. So you have to figure out, you know, what's happening with the taxes to see if you have enough time to make a payment arrangement with the city and go from there.
That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. So interest rates.
Yeah.
What can we say about it, man? So much we can say about interest rates over the, like, since we spoke. I'm sure they shot up since then, end of 2021.
Right.
So one of the things we were talking about previously, you were mentioning that the interest rates are having a bit of an impact on your margins. And I'm sure a lot of people can relate to that, whether, you know, whatever their exit strategy is. So can you talk a bit more about how you've navigated that and push through and still try to make deals work?
Yeah. I mean, I think it comes down to knowing your numbers still, but then realizing that your cash flow may not be where you want it to be. Right. So for example, if you're trying to net $400 a month per rental unit, well, after you do a refinance, or let's say you're going straight into a loan for that property because of the interest rate, maybe your cash flow is only $300 per month. So you could be, you know, biting the bullet on your cash flow. But I think once rates drop down, you know, let's say this summer or the following year, you can always refinance again to get a lower interest rate. So I think right now it is impacting the cash flow, but also it's also impacting those that maybe are doing fixing and flipping and their rates are higher than normal. But it comes back to knowing your numbers. You have to make sure that you're buying a good deal and the numbers make sense.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. Remember to follow us on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue. And be sure to leave us 5 stars and a review on your favorite podcast listening platform. Until next time.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.